wall around the city of Jerusalem. And, you know, Trump wants to build a wall on our southern border, and he's been working on that, and that's very important. And Nehemiah was called of God, like Trump, to build a wall around the city of Jerusalem. But, you know, any man that's a leader needs people that are willing to work with him. And he had those kind of people. And, you know, some people just come to church and they hear a message and then they go and live their lives. But God wants more than that. He wants us to be involved in his work and in building into the lives of people the things of the Bible and Jesus Christ and how to be saved by him. And that's the lesson that we found from Nehemiah chapter 3, that these people were working together to build a work. I mentioned last week Crisis Christianity and talked about Charlie Kirk being assassinated, and said, just don't show up, you know, one day a year in a crisis, but keep coming and keep building. And that is what a true disciple of Jesus Christ is all about. Sunshine and shadow, summer, winter, springtime and harvest. You're here. And we talked about that in Nehemiah chapter 3. However, here in Nehemiah 4, where we're going today, the enemies of God's work heard about their progress, and they were very angry. By the way, the man that shot Charlie Kirk was angry because he was making progress and saying things that helped lives to have a solid moral and spiritual foundation. And the enemy is really Satan, and Satan hates it when God's work is making progress. And so he always is able to find people, Satan is, that will go against the work of God. And so that's what we're going to see here now in chapter 4 today, this hindrance to God's work. And first of all, it says in Nehemiah 4 verse 2 that this man called Sanballat, who was a hinderer, he said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day?" All question marks. "Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" You know, there are people today that says, will we be able to have revival? Will we be able to build lives on solid foundations? Will we have a great church for Jesus Christ today? And you know what? People may question that, but they're really questioning God. Because God is behind this work, and God is behind born-again believers in this work. And so I don't want to be a questioner. I don't want to be a person that's skeptical. I don't want to be a person used of Satan to try to discourage people that are trying to do something for God. I'm here to encourage you and to help you if you're doing something for God. And it's been said, you know, by some people, "Sticks and stones break my bones, but names will never hurt me." But that's really not true. Words can very powerfully hurt people. And if you are building lives today on solid foundations, people that are not real builders can hurt you with discouraging words. And I see Mickey's here today. And Mickey, I know that you lost your friend. What was his name? Scott. And we will be praying for Mickey, all pray for him, and also Scott's family, and we mentioned Charlie Kirk and his family. Those things are painful, but people come out with words, and they say bad things. I am glad that people are getting fired in the media. That's not free speech to say anything you want. If you work for somebody, they can fire you, especially if you're not producing what they need. And if your words are hindering them from producing what they need, they have the right to hire you and fire you. And that's what's been going on here in the media. These people are just losing money for their sponsors, and they're saying bad things, and they think they're untouchable. And Jimmy Kimmel found out he's not. Stephen Colbert, he found out he is not untouchable. And I thank God for it. It's needed in our country. So I'm saying that these devilish discouragers like Sanballat are hindering. And then there's another devilish discourager. His name was Tobiah, and he was an Ammonite. And he stood up with Tobiah, and we'll just call him Sanballat. Put them together, Sanballat and Tobiah. Sanballat. They stood together. And a lot of times that happens. You know what? You have to decide where you're going to stand. Are you going to stand with God's people? Or are you going to stand up with those that are questioning and hindering God's people? Take a stand. And another way was this Tobiah. And he said this. He said, even that which they build, and that's the wall, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. You know what? Trump's building a wall. Trump stopped immigration. It's now zero. They were bringing millions of people into the country. What did that mean? That the American people could not have food. They could not have their proper pay. It was destroying the country. It'd be like you taking the doors off your house and anybody could come in at any time, go in your refrigerator, go into your cupboards, go into your bathroom. How long is that going to last? And it was ridiculous. But these people, they hate America. They want to destroy America. And so I'm just saying these people hated the Jewish people. By the way, people hate the Jewish people today. And they want to destroy Israel, and they're against Israel. And even many conservatives are turning against them. And so we need to understand that what's going on, and these people were enemies of the Jewish people, who are God's people, of the wall that they were building, and they were mocking it. Oh, it's yeah, they're building that, but even if a fox got up on it, he would break that thing. That thing is just, it's just a waste. I'm so thankful we're building a new bathroom, and where's my buddy there? Elgin Gano has done a lot of work on that. John Payone, with the help of his wife, did some great things on that underneath the surface yesterday. And we appreciate the builders, and they're doing it as a gift, giving their time, giving their ability, thousands of dollars worth of work. And I'm just saying, those that put that kind of thing down, like people do today in America, they put down the president, the good things he's doing. People do it even in church. They put down what you're doing and going to church. These people are meant to try to hinder. You know, it's Satan's business to hinder. The Holy Spirit of God is called a helper. The Bible said don't quench the Holy Spirit. He's like a fire. And don't throw cold water on somebody that wants to get saved. Don't throw cold water on somebody that wants to go out soul winning. Don't throw cold water on somebody that wants to get their kids in Christian school and help out. Don't do that. But there are people that do that. There are people in your own family that'll do that. They'll try to discourage you from coming to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I like what Charlie Kirk's wife said, Erica. She said, go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And I heard Charlie Kirk at Oxford's. They asked him, what Bible? He said, the King James Bible from the Tyndale line. Ah, well, that's what we need. Nehemiah wisely used this enemy opposition, though, to plead with the Lord God to see their ridicule and to defeat them. And, you know, Nehemiah did pray for the Lord to see and intervene. You know what? You and I, if we're serving God, we're going to have people against us. We're going to have Satan against us. We're going to have the world against us. Your own internal, listen to me, your own flesh will be against you. To fight you from doing good. The Bible says when I want to do good, what? Evil is present with me. Right inside of you. Your greatest enemy is that woman or that man that you're looking at in the mirror when you get up in the morning. That flesh. And so I'm just saying that they were being hindered and being attacked, and Nehemiah had to pray for grace. You need to pray for grace. to conquer. You need to pray for grace to overcome. Hey, we need to pray for grace that more people would not just come to church and listen to the message, although we thank God for that, but will come down the aisle and go to the altar. And then not only that, but we'll get up from that altar and worshiping God and we'll get involved in going with the workers. I appreciate Brother Z there and Ken and Yatsuk going out together to win souls. And when I went out Thursday night, they were already talking to some young people right across the street here, giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need more people that would be trained to do that, who can get others to train and fill this whole area with the word of God. And so it says they were doing that, and it says in Nehemiah 4, verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Why was that? Listen, for the people had a mind to work. You know what? Some people have a mind to shirk. You know what shirk is? Escape work. And get away from work. And get away from those that do the work. And there are some people, they're not here today simply because they're AWOL. You know what that is? Absent without leave. Charlie Kirk is not here because he was a hero, a martyr, that died doing the work of God that God gave him to do on a college campus. And the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the growth of the church. But there are others that are just plain absent without leave. And I encourage you to get in the battle. If you're not saved, come to Jesus and put your trust in him to take your sin and save you. If you just got saved, put the uniform on and come forward and get baptized. If you get baptized, make sure you join the church. And to join the church, you have to be saved and baptized and don't have a sin in your life that could get you on discipline. And so join the church. And then if you're a member of the church, listen, join the workers that are going out and helping build the church in the work of the Lord. And so Nehemiah told his workers about those coming against them, and he said, we got to set up guards, you know, to watch, just like when you have assassins, you got to put people up on the roof to watch, and he had guards to watch and to stay awake and warn the builders about any danger that would come. And at this point, we come to my main text that I want to look at this morning. It's in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. Here's what it says. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build a wall. You ever had tooth decay? You try to bite down your tooth and it can't really hold the weight. And they had certain strength for the work, but it was decayed, and that meant that they didn't have the strength to build a wall because there was so much rubbish to take out. I had a guy one time in my apartment, he said, I'd like work to be done on this particular project. And I said, yeah, I'd like to do that too. I'm willing to do that. I said, but would you do something for me? He said, what? I said, take a big trash bag and start throwing trash out of your apartment. The guy had so much trash in his apartment, you couldn't even see the furniture. I mean, it was for, and I thought, if I'm going to put thousands of dollars of work in that, get the trash out. Okay, Matt, would you do it? No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't Matt. But the guy, it just had so much trash in the apartment. And I'm saying that's the situation here. They were building a new wall, or they were taking the old wall and cleaning it up and building a new wall out of some of the materials. It was like restoration of the wall that had been burned and broken down. And there are things in your life that at one time you were doing, at one time you were doing it well, like reading your Bible and prayer and loving and kind acts and doing service, and now you're not doing it anymore. There's a sin of omission there. And so God says, no, you got to rebuild that altar. You got to rebuild that life and start doing it again. Maybe it's soul winning. You used to be involved in soul winning. You got away from it. I don't need it. Yeah, you do need it. And God wants you to rebuild it. And that's what was going on here. But there was so much rubbish that was hindering the restoration and the rebuilding. In other words, there was stuff that needed to be taken out to the trash. Tomorrow morning, I have to take out the trash. Every Monday morning. And my wife has to remind me, because Monday I'm trying to study, I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to restore my life. And she says, you know, we got to get the trash out. I got to get that trash in there and put it in the bag and put it in this big thing. And then it's a big bin, and then I have wheels on that, and I take that bin out. The trash guy won't take that big bin, so then I have to take out the bags and put them there for the trash guy to take it and then pull that thing back. I got to do that. And you know what? You got to do that in your life. You got to take out the trash. It's time to take out the trash. And so what I want to talk about this morning is remove the rubbish standing between you and revival. The enemy, Tobias, said, oh, are they going to revive the stones that have been burned and knocked down? They're not going to revive. They're not going to restore it. They're not going to rebuild it. It's going to come to nothing. And you know what? The devil will tell you that when you mess up. And he'll tell you, but God says, nope, you take out the trash so you can rebuild. And this morning, I want to talk about remove the rubbish standing between you and revival. And I want to just talk about three items of rubbish that I believe in many of your lives may stand between you and revival. And I want to say, number one, and I'll read the verse before I say that. It's verse 10. Let me read it. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. I want to talk about three things that are keeping you from building in your life. I'm talking about three things that keep you from building in your personal life, in your family life, and in the church, and in this community. Three things that will hinder you from building in your life that you need to remove, and that will take your strength from you. They will take your energy from you. They will take your motivation from you. What are those three things? Number one, I want to say, remove the rubbish of a bitter and unforgiving spirit. Remove the rubbish of a bitter an unforgiving spirit. You know, some people have a very good memory for people that hurt them. They can tell you when you were hurt. You can tell when and how you were hurt. And you can bring that back up and just talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. And you can't stop talking about it, you think. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, about God's love in your life, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, it says that love thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. That literally means that God's love in your life refuses to store up in your memory, in your heart, a list of things that someone in your life, in this church or in your family, have done to you to hurt you. You just don't store them up. And who's ever using that phone, I'm not going to store it up. Just give me a pizza. You owe me a pizza. Amen. I'm not going to. But I'm saying, don't store it up in your heart and in your life. And when you're not operating in the Holy Spirit, then you're keeping a list of things that a person has done that has wronged you. And perhaps they've said, I'm sorry. Perhaps they've said, I was wrong and I wronged you. But yet you can't get over it. You keep going back to it. Instead of taking that list, tearing it up, and flushing it down the toilet, you keep it. And therefore you can't build a marriage. Therefore you can't build a marriage. Therefore you can't build a family. Therefore, you can't build into the lives of others and help others because you're keeping account of evil and your spirit is bitter and unforgiving. And you have acid of bitterness in your heart. I remember carrying a battery one time from my apartment down to where I was going to dispose of it. And I had army pants on. And when I carried that, I carried it out in front of me. And when I looked down, my pants were totally holy. Not holy like worship God. They were full of holes from the battery acid that had sloshed out and went down the front of the pants and just ate holes in it. And that's what happens to you when you have a bitter and unforgiving spirit. You can't go forward. You can't really build. And so if you don't take it to the trash and get rid of the rubbish, it's going to keep coming out. And you're going to find yourself arguing with a person and bringing it out again and again, which will hinder them from going forward. The Bible says forgetting the things which are behind. The Bible says forgive others as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What if the Lord kept digging up your past and holding it up to you? He didn't do that to you. He took it to the cross. He said it's finished. He said, I'll forget it. I'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. I'm not going to bring that up. I'm not going to deal with that. And that's what God says you need to do, because your unforgiving spirit will cause rubbish to be in your heart, can prevent you from having the kind of energy, the kind of strength to build and so forth. Even a team, when they get beat, a football team, we're in football season, they go over why they got beat, why what you did wrong here, and they got it right. I know the coach of my team, Michigan, after they played the Sooners, he said, "Oh, your offensive line is offensive to me." Your offensive line is not doing the job. He was an offensive line coach, our head coach, and he went to work and just kept working on that offensive line. And I noticed in the game they just played, they beat the offensive line, kept beating, and they broke runs because of it. Major runs. Number of them. Three of them at least. And I'm just saying to you that, yes, you need to learn from what you did, but don't keep beating it and beating it and beating it, but now go forward and don't have a bitter and unforgiving spirit. We need to remove the rubbish standing between us and having a real revival in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our church. I hope you'll do that today, that you will decide, Lord, forgave me, I'm going to just forgive. That means to stop punishing. Stop bringing it back up again. You know, that's what acid reflux is. You just keep bringing up that stomach acid, and it brings it up, and it burns your throat, and it hurts your inside. Listen, some of you are doing that. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your spouse. You're hurting your family. Remove the rubbish of a bitter, unforgiving spirit. There's a second thing, though. If you're going to remove the rubbish standing between you and revival, you need to remove the rubbish of lust that objectifies people. You know, a lot of times you hear this phrase, this man objectifies women. What does that mean? He turns women into objects for his own unbalanced, out of kilter lust or desire, forbidden desire. And frankly, some women dress and advertise themselves in a way that invites men to objectify them. And sadly, even women can even objectify men with lust. And what a sad thing that is when we see that happening in our culture. And if you are involved in that, objectifying people and lusting over people, that will cut your ability to build good things into people's life. God says you need to have a pure heart. What a sad thing it is when people come to church and people objectify them and pull them into sin of fornication, of immorality. and they try to get them to give up their purity. I appreciate Charlie Kirk that he didn't want to do that. He told people not to do that. That's the kind of thing we need young people. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. When they're dating, I remember when Jesse, our deacon who's back there, he got engaged and he had a ribbon between he and his wife, and they tied it to their wrist, and they didn't even hold hands. They kept that ribbon, and they walked and talked and dated and didn't kiss until the marriage altar. I mean, I'm just saying to you, we're living in a culture that objectifies and tries to get the other person into impurity and into sin, and they get involved in fornication. And someone has said, why get married if you can get fornication and have the marriage intimacy without even being married, without even the covenant, without even the commitment? In other words, why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? And so don't cheapen your life by giving away to lust, by giving away to people that want to objectify you, turn you into an object of their impure desires to drag you down. You know, I've said it before, lust can wait. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Lust can't wait to get, to objectify. But love can wait to give. I like what Charlie Kirk said. He said, you know, when a woman gets married, she wears a white dress. He said, when a man gets married, he wears a dark suit. In fact, the same suit he wears to his wedding, he wears to his funeral. That's what Charlie Kirk said. And he said, the reason is because when a man gets married, he is to die to other women that he could text or look at on the internet, other relationships that he would cultivate, like close friends. No, he's got one now, and he dies to that. And he said, you know, he wears that dark suit like he would wear at his funeral because he's dying to his playing video games all night instead of sacrificing for his bride and sacrificing for the good of building into the lives of his family. And, you know, I got a call on my phone last night, 1:45, and it rang, and then my wife was sleeping in the other room. It rang again. It was on my phone. And I thought, I don't want to take this call, but I know I need to take it. So I got up and I looked at the phone and I saw who it was. And I said, yeah, I need to take this call. And I got on the phone and I talked for quite a while. And this person needed me to talk to them. You see, when you get married, you die to your own desires. I like what George Mueller, the great man of prayer, they got so many answers to prayer. He said, there came a day when George Mueller died. And the Bible says, I die daily. And what that means is the same thing Charlie Kirk was saying about his wife, that you could see his wife was in love with that man. And why? Because she received from him real love. And you have to realize that is so important. And so when you objectify people and you get into lust, you cannot really love with a pure heart. And there's only one person that you should have physical love with, and that's the person you're married to. And you save it for that. And so many people have the trash in their life of uncleanness. And because of that, they cannot build for God. They cannot help others to build for God. They are messed up looking at bad pictures and thinking bad thoughts and watching things and stay away from the Hollywood movies as you go out there and that kind of stuff that would bring you down. I'm just saying remove the rubbish standing between you and revival by removing the rubbish of a bitter, unforgiving spirit, by removing the rubbish of lust that objectifies. And finally, I've kind of touched on it, remove the rubbish of selfishness. You know, the definition of joy is J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, and you last. I believe some people have a big S at the under their shirt. You know, if you took off your shirt, you got a big S here, and that means that I am going to put myself first. I'm going to put myself in front of everybody else. And really, Jesus saved us so that we would put Jesus first, and then others second, and ourselves third, and if he gives us an opportunity to satisfy a lawful desire, that's good. But you need to put Jesus first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Oh, Jesus saved you so that you would let him be first, and then he will meet the needs of others through your life. And that is the definition of joy. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people are bored. Why? Because they're living for big number one, their self. And that becomes very boring. That kind of life becomes very boring. And how exciting it is when you're living for Jesus. And you're living to do things that Jesus wants you to do. And I believe that some of you, you've got the rubbish of selfishness in your life. And sometimes it's the good. You're doing things that are good for yourself. But it's the enemy of the best and putting the Lord first in your life. And the Lord wants you to do that. So this morning, it's time, I believe, to remove the rubbish standing between you and a revival. First of all, do you have the rubbish of a bitter and unforgiving spirit? You know, sometimes I see people, and I'm thinking of a couple of people that they get offended very easily. Somebody doesn't smile at them or shake their hand or give them recognition or does something that they think was bad to them, and they're so self-centered, it goes along with selfishness, that they don't forgive that person, and they'll pull away from church, they'll pull away from other Christians, and they're just not available. You can't find them, you can't see them, because they have that bitter and unforgiving spirit, and it goes along with selfishness. And then there are people, they may come to church and put on a good show and everything else, but they're turning God on in church and then turning him off and turning the internet on and getting into all kind of lust and objectifying. And what a dirty heart they have. And they might go through the motions of being in church and looking good on the outside, but the Holy Spirit is sad and grieved, and they're not really building. You need to get rid of any of that garbage, that rubbish. And then last, the biggest enemy is selfishness that hinders us from yielding to Jesus. You know, that's how we're to live our life, yielding our life to the Lord. And there are things in your life that are standing between you and being a member of the church. Maybe things that are in your life that stand between you and getting baptized. And maybe it's just things that are hindering you from coming to Christ and saying, Lord, save me. I want to be a born-again Christian. Whatever it is, today, turn to the Lord and put the trash, take it out, and don't let the rubbish stop you from being part of God's building. Let's bow for prayer. I'm asked every head bowed and eye closed this morning, and I want to